that are fathers, grandfathers. I want to do something different, and I'm hoping that you would join me in this. How many this morning would assist me in saying something about your dad, specifically something that he taught you? Something short, something brief, something that your dad impressed upon you. Whether your dad be already in heaven, whether he still be with you, what is something that stands out in your mind and in your heart today that your dad taught you? Yes, sir?
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness. Good. Wonderful. That's a needy thing. Yes, ma'am. Be good to each and everybody, no matter what. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
My father said a place should be better for you being there.
A place should be better for you being there. Excellent. I love it. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Good work ethic.
Good work ethic. Amen. If somebody else said something.
Always tell the truth.
Always tell the truth. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Wow.
And so I think just praying for your children and hearing them calling out prayer.
Yes. Amen. You know, we don't think about that, but that's true. That is true. Yes. Good. Good, good, good. Someone else. Someone else. Yes, sir.
My dad always tells you, your word is your bond. Tell somebody you're going to do something, do it.
Your word is your bond. If you told somebody you're going to do something, do it. Hallelujah. If you tell them you're going to settle score, you settle that score. And no, I'm just teasing. that was part of it, wasn't it? Don't say it if you don't mean it. Amen. Good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Now, perhaps there's someone in the room this morning or listening online, and maybe because of the spiritual factor, maybe your father wasn't that kind of an influence in your life. Let me say this, and let me encourage you with this. Your heavenly Father is everything you need Him to be in your life. And it is never too late. You don't have to be young in order to glean from that relationship. Your heavenly Father loves you, and I'm a father. But your heavenly Father loves me, loves you more than any earthly father could ever think of loving, because our love is limited. God's love is unlimited. God's love is unconditional. Many times our love is conditional. We will love to a certain point. God's love has no limit. And you say, now that is hard for us to think of how someone, no matter how this person has been treated, how that individual, how that entity could love me in spite of that, regardless of anything that I could have done, good or bad. But that is our God. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. For my dad, one thing that stands out with me, and somebody mentioned it, was work ethic. My dad worked us like you wouldn't believe. I mean, life was, it was work. I mean, we built our own bunk beds that we slept in. He bought Army Navy cots from an Army surplus store in Edinburgh or McAllen, Texas. We took them into Mexico, and they were the aluminum tube. How many were in the Navy? How many were in the Navy? Anybody here in the Navy? Okay, on the submarines, they had these cots that had canvas with the little eyelets and then an aluminum round frame around it, and they would rope. And then those things would hang, and then they would, during the day, they'd fold them up against the wall. My dad bought a bunch of those, and we made our own bunk beds, and we slept on those. And growing up, and he was always teaching. We were involved in, I think, five buildings that we built with our hands, And he had no proper training, but he just figured it out. And we were right along there with him in it. And I really appreciate my dad doing that for us. 2 Timothy 2:15, real quick. We'll never totally finish spiritual revival, personal spiritual revival, but as far as the lessons that we were teaching on that has come to an end. But I want to share something with you, and then I want to preface what we're going to begin with a statement so that we know that everybody's on the same page. But 2 Timothy 2:15, let's read this together if we can. And it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we've read this verse. It's a very familiar verse in Scripture, especially if you've been in church any length of time. But let's just be transparent and honest, and that is this. If somebody were to walk up to me and they were to press me for an answer on some things in Scripture, if you're like me, and many of you are probably, because I'm abnormal and I'm weird, I get that, but not in that way. But if you're like me in that, for me, it's sometimes very difficult to have that immediate recall, and you know, I just, you know, boom, boom, just snap answers. I have a son who used to, well, I still have a son, he's still there. He used to read the encyclopedia when he was growing up. It made me sick, and he loved it. And he just loves facts. I had a brother that way. He got pounded on a lot for that. And because he was always trying to bless us with all the facts that he knew. He got pounded on a lot. Now, I didn't pound on my son for that. But brothers and sisters, and you know, if you ever want to know anything, you just ask Anthony. Anthony probably knows about it. And so I'm not that kind of a guy. But I know where to go to find the answer. And so we're going to start something today that I'm hoping will assist all of us. But when I say this, when I say that we're going to start this, I want to make sure that I'm very careful, because I know my audience. And I know that each and every one of you are not novices in when it comes to the Word of God. Many of you, if not all of us, we know how to handle the Word of God. And I want you to know from the very beginning that I respect that. And I honor that. And I don't want ever, want it to be that one would feel like, you know, oh, I already know that. You know, why is he talking about that? I already know that. But there is a purpose for what we're going to start and what we're going to do. And I'll tell you what it is. There's going to be a couple items that we're going to touch on, and they're going to be basic Bible truths. Okay? And we're doing it as a group because we are moving towards one purpose and one goal as a class, as a church, as the body of Christ. And that goal ultimately is what has been peppered throughout the Word of God, and that is that all men may know that He is God. Okay? So all of this has a reason. All of this has a purpose. Now, I'm not trying to trick you into something or anything like that. So this morning, the Bible says, we read, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I'm going to be honest with you. I grew up in church. I grew up in a missionary home. Well, I started teaching when I was 12, 13 years old. I was teaching Sunday school during that time. You say, my soul, what were your parents thinking? Well, who else are you going to use if you're on the mission field? You got to train everybody and teach them in order to get them to the point where they can teach. And that took a while. And so some of us that grew up in it, we come up along. And so we were teaching, you know, children's classes and different things like that. And even strapping a guitar on our back and jumping on a bus and going out in the village and standing in the middle of a lot somewhere and throwing out some rocks and some concrete blocks for people to sit on and having services and different things like that. That's how I grew up. And I will tell you this, that the only way that I was able to get or to have ease at answering questions regarding the Bible is when I was constantly teaching and using and showing and learning. And I mean, the best way to learn the Word of God is to disciple someone. Take someone that just got saved and bring them up in just starting the basics of the Word of God. That's the best way. And so I want you to join me in a small journey that we're going to take over the next few weeks. And we're gonna refresh. For many of us, it's just going to be a refresh. For some of us, as we're going through this, you're going to be like, that was interesting. I don't know if I remembered that, but that's cool. And you're gonna enjoy what we're going to do. And then when we're done with this, we're going to look at a study of the structure of a church. Why we exist as a church, as a local assembly of believers. And we're going to see where we fit in all of this, okay? So this is the journey that we're going to begin. And we're going to start the lesson today speaking of the Word of God. The Word of God. What separates Christianity from any religion in the world? And I'll tell people, I don't have religion. In fact, I don't like religion. Organized religion, I do not like, because it is a human-created system that normally accomplishes very little for the cause of Christ. I don't have religion. I have salvation. I have salvation. And you would agree with that. And so, but what separates Christianity, most people that do not know Christ will refer to what we do and where we go. And, you know, they refer to that as having religion. That doesn't offend me. I don't have to try to correct everybody for saying that. They don't know. They don't know all the isms that we're so well versed in. And let's remember that when we're dealing with a lost and dying world. When we're salt and light, when you're salt and life in the world, we are used to these terms: saved, born again. You tell somebody you must be born again, and they're gonna be like, yeah, right. You look like a nut job when you're using those kind of terms. So be very careful when you're witnessing to people to be born again. What are you referring to? And it has something to do with spirit, you know, and all that good stuff. You know that. So what differs or what separates us from any religion in the world is its claim to an absolute written authority from God. That's what separates us. By the way, that is the reason that most religions at their origin have some form of or a spin-off of the Word of God. Think about it. You think about most major religions that you know about. Their founder took the basics of the Word of God, and then they put their own spin to it and added their own version. I'm thinking of one major religion in the world today. There's a lot of things that look very similar. In fact, I have led someone to Christ because using a Bible from that religion, because every verse that I used for salvation read the same in that book. And in recent years, some religions, what they've done is they've seen the success, if you would, or they've seen the spread or the propagation of the gospel in Christianity, that they've seen some things that they've mimicked or copied. I'll never forget walking down the street in Mexico, and out of this humongous cathedral, I heard a chorus that we would sing in the Baptist church. Alabaré, alabaré, alabaré a mi Señor. I will praise my Lord. Coming out of a huge cathedral. Well, my jaw fell open. What in the world? And they started adopting some of the hymns and also some of the songs and choruses with the children that we would use in Christianity. Why? Satan is anti-God, and anything that he can do to make things look similar, then we say, well, it's the same thing. You've heard that. You know, we do the same thing at our church, is what they'll say. But the Word of God is absolute, and we believe it to be the written authority from God. Having the Word of God is essential to a Christian's growth in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, the other thing is the standards, if you would, or the guideline by which a Christian is to govern his life in every detail are found in the pages of the Word of God. You have everything that you need to know to live your Christian life, to walk with Christ, to walk in the Spirit. You have everything that you need. This is relevant for today. And you have everything you need in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Amen? So it is everything that we need. Now, it is universally accepted that there are two fundamental sources of human knowledge. Reason and experience. You have reason and you have experience. Both are essential to our understanding of the world around us. Yet, reason and experience do not answer for us the most profound and important questions of life. Reason and experience won't do that. Questions like, where did I come from? What is the purpose for my existence? Where am I going, if anywhere, after death? Those kind of questions, reason and experience will not answer. Now, there's another source of knowledge that carries us beyond the limitations of human reason and experience that answers for us these three important questions of life. And this third source of knowledge is called revelation. Revelation. Revelation is God revealing Himself to us, and He does this primarily through His Word, the Bible. Okay? He does that primarily. The Bible reveals to us many important things about God and His commandments, and in the Scripture, we have direct access to the infinite and personal God who created all things for His pleasure, and He is not limited as His finite creation is. And I'll read that again. God is not limited as His finite creation is limited. Okay? God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And He's immutable. Immutable. He never changes. The Bible describes two forms of revelation commonly referred to as, you have general revelation, and then you have special revelation. And according to Psalms 19, and we'll turn there and we'll look, Psalm chapter 19, Psalm chapter 19, would someone read verse 1 through 6 for me, please, out loud so that everyone can hear. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6.
That
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
Okay. And then if you have time to turn, or if you can get there in time, I'll read it for you. Romans 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, in verse 19, Romans 1 and 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Have you ever wondered this? I used to feel the weight, the guilt, that if when I walked out these doors, no matter who walked in front of me, if I didn't tell them about Christ and they went to hell, that it was my fault. Now, I'm not here to get rid of blame and to make us feel all warm and fuzzy. I'm just talking about something that's real, that I lived. And you may or may not relate to this, but I used to feel that way. And it used to weigh me down, so much so that it discouraged me. When I would go to the grocery store, it would make me hold my head down. I didn't want to make contact with somebody because then I felt responsible for that somebody. And if I didn't say something to them, and they died and they went to hell, I was going to give account to God for them. Without a show of hands, how many felt that way? Maybe you still feel that way. The Bible says here, and I was having a hard time. We use the term in Spanish, it says cuadrado, which means to square up. Okay? My brain was having a hard time squaring up the fact that God was just and that He loved everybody and He died to save everyone. And how in the world is everyone going to know? My brain would short circuit on that one. And I would have a tough time answering that one. Until I understood this right here. Understood this. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So the wrath of God is revealed that way, but he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest. That literally means that God made them know. It's in them. Even the atheist. Why does he fight so hard to tell everybody, I don't believe in God? Okay. But I don't believe in God. Okay. What are you fighting about? If you don't believe in it, why are you fighting against it? Just don't believe in it. If you don't believe in the fact that a car, when it hits you, will literally flatten you like a tortilla, then walk out into the street. Test it out. But in them is something that God has placed that they know. This is what got me. What about that person out in the middle of nowhere where there's no church, where the gospel has not arrived yet? How is that individual going to know? Is it fair for God to let that individual die and go to hell having never known? And the truth of the matter is, God, being perfect and being all-loving, all-knowing, He has made a way for every individual on planet Earth that ever was and that ever is and that ever will be to know that He is God. Along the way, He's allowed us to be part of that process. And that's where we come in. And that's where it is our privilege. It's like an extra, it's the cherry on the sundae that we get to enjoy. Some of you don't like cherries, but whatever it is on that sundae that you really like, it's that to you to be able to get or to be the one to share the love of God with and lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But then he says, even the invisible things of Him, verse 20, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. And, oh man, God knew so much what He was doing. And then He also knew so much what He was doing by placing these words in the Word of God that says, it's made known unto them using things that are already here. Something doesn't have to come along, and that transcends all ages. It transcends all cultures, whether modern or not. Whether it be what we call third world or not. It transcends everything. He says He's made it, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that everyone is without excuse. So we have the revelation of God, where He reveals Himself to us, and He does this through His Word. He also does this through nature. The Bible reveals us important things, and the common forms of revelation are, number one, general, and according to Psalm 19, 1 through 6, and Romans 1, 20, God reveals Himself to everyone through His creation. This is known as general revelation. The Bible also teaches us that God has implanted the knowledge of His existence in every human heart. We just read Romans 1, 19. He implants that in every human heart. Now, God's special revelation, it involves a more direct communication with man, and this includes, now we're being biblical here, this includes dreams, visions, angels, the person of Christ, and the Bible. God's written revelation to man. So, the Bible presents God's plan of redemption for mankind. Everyone has sinned, and all must be redeemed. God's will for man as he relates to God's plan is the theme, and it's the focal point of all Scripture. God chooses to reveal Himself in a very progressive way. And as time passed, more and more was revealed and was recorded about God, His will, His ways. And at the completion of the New Testament, God's written revelation was complete. At the end of the New Testament, that's where His written revelation was complete. Now, we may have time to start this, but I'm going to have to shut it down here in a few minutes. Scriptures are unique. The Bible is unique in four ways. And if you want to write them down, these are the ways, and then we'll enter into the first one. The Bible is unique in its production, in its preservation, in its proclamation, and in its purpose. In those four ways, in its production, its preservation, its proclamation, and its purpose. Let's delve into the first one. The Bible is God's message to man. He is the author and the giver of all truth and all knowledge. God, through His Spirit, gave every word by inspiration. And we believe that because of what 2 Timothy, and we're going to read it, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says. Now what we're looking at here today is we are giving ourselves the tools that if somebody, because listen, we live in a world where no longer does the average person, and there may be a few, but no longer does the average person say, oh yeah, I believe in God. How many of you talked to recently, they don't even believe in God. Much less the Word of God. That's a book that you use at church to a lot of people. So we must know where this comes from, why we have it, and what it is. It's unique in its production. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture, that's all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, really quick, help me this morning. I want you to participate. I want you to participate. And there's no wrong answer, but what is the word profitable? Somebody help me with a definition of the word profitable. What does that mean? It's helpful. It's what? It brings gain. Okay, yes. Any other definition that we want to interject? Okay, so it's helpful. It brings gain for what? For doctrine. What is doctrine?
Core beliefs.
Core beliefs from the Word of God. And that's where we get our doctrine from. My doctrine doesn't come from a denomination. I'm going to be straight up with you. And I've told this to Brother John. I could care less what the Baptists believe above what the Bible believes. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be asked if I'm Baptist. In fact, I doubt that'll even come up in conversation. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son, you don't have it. That's it. I believe I'll get asked that. Or somebody's going to check the record. And they're going to see. In fact, the Bible does say that, doesn't it? It says, is his name written in the Lamb's book of life? You either have it or you don't. If you have it, you're in. So Baptist means nothing in heaven. Okay? God means everything in heaven in his word. His inspired word means everything in heaven. So, doctrine for reproof. What is reproof? What? Correction? Whooping? What else? What's that? Rebuke? Okay, that's common. Reproof is first. So reproof is correction? It satisfies, yes. So it's correction, but the Bible does say correction. So what is reproof? Discipline? Okay. Anybody got a dictionary handy? Okay. Reproof is literally, anybody got an app with the Webster's 1828 dictionary in it? So yeah, Brother Dan, I have that right on. Right, it's one of the apps on my phone. Give me just a second. Isn't that interesting? Let me show you something here. This is really neat, and then we must hasten. Okay. Actually, Brother Dan does have Webster's 1828 dictionary on his phone.
I figured that.
You figured as much? You know, that does help. And now I'm getting a server error. But you'll find that it does mean to instruct in the right way. Okay? And I'll get that definition for you. Okay, correction is what? The next one. Correction is exactly that. It corrects you. The reproof brings it out. It's a negative comment, and it brings it out. It brings it to light, and then it's good for correction, which if you're going this way, and the Bible points out the fact that this is actually the wrong way, then what it turns you around, and it brings you, and it corrects your course. And then also for what? Instruction in what? in righteousness. It instructs you. It shows you. It gives you. How many use YouTube? You want to find something out, you go to YouTube. Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube. And YouTube, man, I've fixed my car many times when a mechanic wasn't available using YouTube. Now, I love mechanics, and I value them. They know a lot more than I'll ever dream of knowing. But YouTube has helped me. The Bible helps me when it comes to righteousness because it instructs me in righteousness. The Word of God.
And
looking for blame?
For reproof.
Reproof? Yeah. It will blame us. The Bible does a good job at that. Now, here's the cool thing, and I've got to shut it down. I got literally 30 seconds here. I don't have to point out your faults.